blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 102, stanzas 2 through 5. Heavy is my tribulation, sore my punishment has been. Broken by thy indignation, I am troubled by my sin. 2 through 5 of Psalter 102.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this afternoon's service can be found in the book of the Psalms, and thereof Psalm 27. Psalm 27, but first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh to thee in this hour. We are brought together in thy house, under thy own institutions. And whereas thou hast commanded that we should do this in remembrance of thee from time to time here below, and then it is in obedience to thy holy command. And oh, could it be also in this hour with a little desire in the heart of thy true church to give a little testimony, because that will be the work of thy people forever and forever. Oh, thy servant did say, I know. And that is that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And we have heard it in this morning hour. In one moment, thou art able to uncover a man and to make him to know that there is nothing that is hid from thee. O Lord, then we become guilty. Then we become filthy and polluted and corrupt in thy most holy sight. Oh, then there is not a husband that we have not taken unto ourselves in love in this world, in all idolatry, as serving this and that in vanity and in foolishness and in unrighteousness here below. Oh, with our self-will always set against thee, and lifting ourselves up in pride and in foolishness, wandering always in the paths of wickedness and of sin, with desires that go after everything that is not of thee and of thy holy truth. Oh, the sloth of our life, leaving thee days without number, and thy great long suffering continually shown unto us, or even in the life of thy children, and the continual unbelief, O Lord, how that we must smite upon our breast continually. O thou knowest our sins, they rise up against us, prevailing day by day. But thou wilt show us mercy and take our guilt away. Ah, Lord, thy servant did have to say, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And thou desirest truth in the inward parts. O Lord, we do not have it in our inward parts. Oh, it might be on the outside in all of our show of piety. But thou knowest what a wretchedness that our heart is. Oh, do give us with thy servant truly to say, oh, I acknowledge mine iniquity, and my sin is ever before me. Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not away thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, remember us, Lord. We are lying in our guilt. We are lying in our sin. And we can only bring that before thee which we have. And that is all our miserableness and all our poverty. But in thee, oh, then there is such a riches to be received, and that may be shown also when thou didst say unto that black woman, oh, I that speak unto thee am he. O Lord, that it may be then our testimony also, even as it was in her mouth to say it unto men in this day come. See a man that has shown me all things that ever I did. O Lord, that we may be given so to desire to lift up thy name in all our own sin and guilt and misery. O that we may desire to glorify and magnify thy grace that is as wide as the ocean. O that we may be made in this day as one, and that to show forth thy righteousness in the great congregation, and that we would not be silent about it. Lord, remember then each and every one. Ah, Lord, thou knowest the fears that are in the heart because we can be so afraid of ourselves. Oh, we are deceitful, our hearts above all things, and they are desperately wicked. Leave us not to make a mistake. Oh, keep us, Lord, on every side, because we are those that would take the children's bread. Oh, but thou art able to keep us, watch over us, protect us. And wilt thou give us that true knowledge of ourselves and the true knowledge of thee that is so all to thy honor and to thy glory, and wilt thou feed thy people. Oh, it is a wilderness, it is a Meshach here below. It is a dry wilderness, Lord. Thou knowest the difficulties of the exercises of faith. Therefore, thou dost set this before thy poor people, that they who are so ignorant, and they may see with their eyes, and they may believe with their heart. Oh, that thou givest it unto them truly and really, even such as I am. Oh, then the heart would be so humble to say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Oh, could it be then the spirit in the heart, even in this hour, in these moments, look upon the youth and upon the children. Oh, give them this hour, Lord, to see that there is a separation, that there is not everyone that is saying, Lord, Lord, that shall enter into the kingdom of God. Not everyone with a religion. Oh, Lord, give them a desire. May they behold these moments, thy beauty. That thou showest unto all thy people, and that there could be a desire and a holy jealousy born in their young hearts that shall never leave them world without end. Oh, draw them, Lord. Draw them in their youth and give them to see the blessedness of all thy true church. And give them meek, Lord, to eat and to be satisfied, and send away the rich empty. Oh, Lord, that we might learn, that we may be instructed, that we may be fed, that we may be comforted in this wilderness, and that thou wouldst do it all for thy great and thy holy name's sake. Care for the afflicted. Remember the children. One came home from the hospital. One goes into the hospital. Oh, Lord, they are children. They are young. And yet, the consequences of sin are laying hard upon them already in their youth. Oh, that thou may remember and help doctors, physicians, give wisdom, give skill, give healing as thou alone art able, strengthen parents, bring us all at thy footstool in our guilt, and grant us the forgiveness of all of our many sins. Look upon us, O Lord, if we are old, and in this hour, we are have to be by our own selves and the judgment concerning our own life confined to our seats. Oh, Lord, could it please thee that it may be the hour of thy good pleasure to send us away from this place with an arrow in our heart, all that it cannot continue as it has been for all these many years. And oh, that thou may give, and that even at the end of our life, and that a new life may be born. So look upon us, we beseech thee, take reasons out of thyself when there are no reasons to be found in us. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 198, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 7. O God, be thy anointed Son, with truth and righteousness endowed, that justice may on earth be done, the meek protected from the proud. 1, 2, 4, and 7 of Psalter 198. beloved congregation, David wrote, "The poor committeth himself unto thee." No one else ever did. No one else ever will. No matter what he thinks that he has done, because what is it to commit? The poor committeth himself unto thee. That is actually to let loose, to let loose, to forsake. That is to abandon. A poor man has peculiar burdens. He walks with them over this world in his life. He has a debt that he is not able to pay. And he has worries that do not belong to other persons. They are worries about his own sustenance, about the future. They are concerns about his own existence. The poor committeth himself unto thee. That is, the poor let loose. The poor forsake. The poor abandon for a moment by times in this world their burden. And then we read Solomon, he says that wine belongeth unto the poor and to that man who has a heavy heart, that he may just for a moment in his life forget that burden that is laying upon him. And thus we have a picture in that of faith, that the poor are for a moment forsaking and letting go of that burden. We can complain perhaps sometimes about our finances, that we say we do not have enough. The congregation, if we do not know what poverty actually is, then we do not know the burdens that are accompanying a man in his poverty. And we do not know either what this committing ourselves unto him, we do not know what that means. We do not experience what that is, because there is relief in that. That is just for a moment. And that relief is felt by none other than by those who are burdened. We heard last week about a young man to whom the Lord Jesus said, "One thing thou lackest." And what was that? That was this poverty. That is this selling of his estate. Christ says this is necessary, because if our creditor has never come and demanded of us what we owe to him, and that we have come up with nothing, and that our estate has to be sold, then we have never experienced the burden and that Christ is taking up and bearing himself for his own church. Thus we read that the Lord says of his people, he says, "I was unto them as he that does lift up the yoke from the jaws," that is of those animals that had the yoke that was laying on that jaw, and then to give that animal for a moment a little bit of relief. That doesn't mean that he has not yet to bear a yoke, but just a moment to lift up that yoke, that he might feel something of that master, the master's hand that the master is giving unto him a moment of relief. And that is now the rest. And that is felt and known by that people. That is now the rest, the fruit. That is what is experienced when a person may exercise by the Spirit of God a little bit, a one moment, as it were, of faith. And if we may know that just for a moment, because you know, children, Peter walked on the water. He walked for one moment on the water. And then the next moment he was sinking. And that is, young people, how it goes in the life of God's church. One moment that faith may be an exercise, and then they have to experience that it is gift of God. But now the next moment they say, I cannot uphold it. And I see those waves coming. And thus the ability to exercise and to continue to exercise that faith, they say, that is only coming from the Lord. That is not what I am able to give unto myself. Psalm 27, the words of our text, the fourth verse. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So far the words of our text. One thing desired. First, what thing this is. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What thing it is. Second, wherefore it is desired. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Wherefore it is desired. One thing desired, what it is, and wherefore it is desired. It is congregation, according to the Bible here, a psalm of David. And David is the man we read after God's own heart. And do you know what that means? That means that he is also a man whose life is going to be full of afflictions. Because that is the promise of the Lord concerning his people. And the Lord says that I will have an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Those afflictions have a reason. The Lord needs to bring them, not because of for his own sake, but it is actually for the sake of his people. They cannot do without them, because without afflictions, oh, then it seems the Lord, as it were, cannot hold their attention, young people. He cannot hold their attention. He cannot keep them at his footstool. And thus the Lord has to do something. And he has to make them continually to cry unto himself. We don't know what affliction this was penned under. Because David had so many afflictions. He had so many wanderings. He had to wander from his own father-in-law. And he had to wander and try to deliver himself from his own flesh. But in all those afflictions here, we do not find that David is complaining about the outward things that he has to suffer. No, here we find David complaining about soul matters. There are things that are more important. that were higher to him, that were greater burdens to him than all the burdens that he had to suffer here in this world. So how is that now for us? When we may lay ourselves next to David for a moment in this afternoon. Then it is it also for us that the burden of our soul is more for us than all the burdens and all the afflictions and all the trials, and that the Lord may lay on us in an outward way. Neither does David have power to change that condition that he is in. And what condition is that? Well, he is in the wilderness. And David has no power to bring himself closer to the Lord. That is completely out of his hands. In that way, David is a picture of the church of God, because they are also traveling through a wilderness. And in this wilderness, then they have to experience that they have no power to bring their soul closer into communion with the Lord. That is something that is completely lying out of their hands, that I may dwell, he says, in the house of the Lord. What is that, boys and girls? What was that? The house of the Lord. Say, that must have been the temple. Is that so? Say, that cannot be the temple, because David was not allowed to build the temple, right? That was his son, that was Solomon. So when David speaks about the house of the Lord, David is speaking about the tabernacle of the Lord. And what is now in the tabernacle? Well, all kinds of symbols, the symbols of God, the symbol especially of his son, that is, of the mediator. We have the law of God. We have a picture in that tabernacle of the gospel, how that a sinful man is able to be brought back again into that blessed communion of God. And that tabernacle is a very special place, because it is not an institution of men, but that is an institution of God himself. And the Lord has made a promise. He says, that is a place now where I will be. And it is a place where my people will experience that I will be. And when he has placed that tabernacle among them in that wilderness, then the Lord says, you are in that wilderness, but I go with you through that wilderness. So that is a beautiful picture. And not only the fact that he will go with them, but in that tabernacle is a beautiful picture of how it is possible that the Lord is able to dwell in the midst of his own people. David knew that place. The tabernacle. He was not a stranger of the things that he is here longing for. David has tasted in his life that the Lord is gracious. But David cannot taste it now. David is far away from that. That is also a picture of that true church. Because when they have tasted that the Lord is gracious, then they are not necessarily then just able to bring that with them and to experience and taste and feel and perceive that graciousness of the Lord. Apart from God, I long and thirst, and naught can satisfy. Is that your life? I wander in a desert land where all the streams are dry. How do they know that dryness? Well, because they knew what it was to taste. And when we know what it is to taste, then we know what it is when we do not taste. And when we know what it is to drink, then we know what it is then we cannot drink. And now this nearness, David knows that he has to seek that nearness from who? He has to seek that nearness from the Lord himself. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord." I desired it of the Lord. Why did he desire it of the Lord? That is because we say, because God's word says, the Lord only can give it to us. You hear that, young people? You believe that? Only the Lord. He says, I have desired it of the Lord. And because he desired it of the Lord, and he said the Lord only can do it, and the Lord only can give it to me, what did he do? Did he say, well, then I have to just wait. Then I have to just do nothing. Because only the Lord can give it to me. No. No. He says, because only the Lord can give it to me. He says, that is what I will seek after, and I am going to go to the Lord for it. Because he is the only one that is able to give it to me. That is now the fruit of that new life. That is how that new life perceives the truth. Then that does not make them to be slothful, no, but it does just the opposite. But it is making them to seek, and to seek from him alone, from whom they are able to receive it. That is now the life of the church. They are crying. They are crying to God for that which they cannot give unto themselves. They cry to God even for the own sloth, what is living in their flesh, that only the Lord is able to deliver them from. David has enemies. You have enemies. Those enemies keep David from enjoying the presence and the nearness of the Lord. They are not friends. No. They're enemies. We read in God's word, Micah says, a man's enemies shall be them of his own household. David knew what that was. That was his own wife mocking. That was his own children seeking his destruction. That was the household of his own community, enemies therein. Saul, his father-in-law, seeking his destruction. Oh, David knew what that was. But you know, that was not the greatest enemy of David. You know where that greatest enemy was? That was in his own heart. David experienced that in his life. No, it is not in the first place. Everyone that is around me that desires and that seeks my life. But he says it is my own heart. And what I have done and how I have departed and how I have left the Lord. Oh, just think about Absalom. And how that David would have chastised himself when he has seen his own children falling into the sins that he himself has fallen into, adultery and murder. Oh, then David, he can only look upon himself. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Oh, David ever wants to be there. He never wants to leave that place, because once a man has enjoyed a Sabbath day, as a Sabbath day is meant by the Lord to enjoy, once a man has tasted the graciousness of God, once a man has tasted the rest and the peace that there is in him, in that blessed covenant, then there is nothing more than that a man desires that he may live in this, and that he may taste this again, oh, that he may never depart, and that he may continually eat and drink, you know, that is, children, a little bit of heaven. You know, the Lord gives the people to experience a little bit, just a little bit, of what heaven is already when they are here on the earth. Something of that nearness, something of that grace of God. And now, if someone would die and go to heaven, do you think that they would want to come back again into this world? I don't think so. Because there is such an enjoyment and a deliverance from everything that can oppress, that to come back again here to this world is nothing but a burden. And David, he says this here. He says, all the days of my life, oh, he says, just that taste. And then if I could live in that, and I could live there and stay there in those moments when the Lord is so near, and when the Lord affords to me that safety and that protection and that deliverance that I may see, that I may view, I desire to remain there forever. Oh, that is where that a man experiences that. That is under the means. David says it is in the house of the Lord. That is in a special way. It doesn't mean that cannot be experienced in your home. Or children, maybe when your teacher is even teaching the Bible lesson. Do you sit quietly? Do you listen with all your ears and with all your heart? And yet the preaching of the word, the institution of the sacraments, oh, they are especially designed and given by the Lord for this purpose. That when we may be gathered together in his house and when his word may be expounded, then the Lord is granting his blessing. And David, he looks at that house. In his mind, he says, in that house is there that ark. In that house is there that laver. In the house of God, in that tabernacle, there is that ark of the Lord, the altar, and all those things are for him a picture of the things that make his heart to rest. To rest. Why? Because they are all pictures of that mediator and that was to come. We see therefore the reason of his desires in our second thought. He says to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. How beautiful the Lord is. But it's one thing for the Lord to be beautiful, and it is another thing for me to see it, right? Because if it is all hidden from us, and we cannot see that beauty, then what does it profit us? Not everyone in this world has seen the beauty of the Lord by nature. We actually have no desire to behold his beauty. How is that with us? Also on this day of the Lord's Supper, maybe you say, sometimes I wish I also could come there. Congregation, this is not the most important thing. No, the most important thing is what is in your heart. Do you seek that above even coming unto the table of the Lord? Because do we desire with David to see the beauty of the Lord with our religion? We can be made to marvel. We can even be made to marvel at the creation. The other day we had to go to Calgary. And we come there. And on that highway toward the west, with all of those trees and all turning color. Ah, what a beautiful, beautiful sight. Then you see something of the majesty. You see something of the temporal effects and consequences of the glory of the Lord. And that gives in your heart a burning. And you say, oh, could I know this God? Could I know him? Could I love him? Could I worship him? Even with an outward religion, we can see something, we can perceive something of the beauty, of the redemption of God's church. So our mind is able to perceive the suitability of many things. We can see the suitability of light for darkness. We can see the suitability of a man for a woman. We can see the suitability of rain for drought. We can even see the suitability of grace for sin. Man can see that. He can appreciate that. Even when he will think these things out with his mind. And we can be pleased with that. Congregation, our natural mind is not pleased when we view injustice in the world. Then there is something in us that is bringing tension. And when we see that justice is carried out, then we see there is something beautiful, that something like this is really from heaven. Congregation, it is another matter. For thirst to drink is another matter, isn't it? For thirst to drink. So one thing for me to see and appreciate suitability. But now for me to experience for myself in my own thirst, in my own hunger to eat. And for my own self and the lack and the need that is within me, burning in within me. For my own existence and for my own welfare, to be fed and to experience the good that is coming from a thirsty soul drinking, then it is not only to see and appreciate, but then it is to experience. And to feel and to experience the profit for my own soul, what it is to, for a thirsty man to drink, for despondency to hope. For despondency to hope. That is not to look at another man. To say, yeah, he has hope in his despondency. But that is for myself to despond. And for myself to receive a hope in the midst of my own despondency. There is no substitute for this, is it? Is there? No, you say, this is the thing that a person needs to know, that a person needs to experience. David says, to behold the beauty of the Lord. He says, I desire this. He says, of the Lord, I cannot behold it. He says, my eyes are closed, except the Lord opens them, and my ears are shut, unless the Lord opens my ears. And thus David says, I desire to behold his beauty. And where, he says, in his temple, in his tabernacle, in his house. He says, because there in his tabernacle is the place that the Lord is displaying his beauty. He has all those things there. And so if I can come in there and the Lord will open my soul's eyes when I see the outward things, and if the Lord may now open my soul's eyes, then I may see his beauty. Under the institutions of the Lord, then the Lord is opening this beauty, and then the Lord is giving faith, and the Lord gives that people to believe in him. Then it is tasted. It is tasted. Hannah says, he raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. How did she say that? That was out of the experience of her own heart, wasn't it? That is what she experienced in her heart. Her enemy mocking her. She had no power to deliver herself. But then the Lord delivered her. And that was a matter of faith. Before that child is even conceived in the womb, but it's only by the promise of the Lord. And that the Lord gives that woman to take hold, and that poor lady, she may for one moment commit her case unto the Lord. And in that moment, that poor woman may sing. What a beauty there is in that surety, in that mediator of the church. One that is now only conceived in the womb. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. Conceived, a child, conceived in the womb. That is not brought forth yet, no. Everything is not done yet, no. It's only the beginning. But that child is born. And faith is born. And that is not steady, no. It is not steady. But it exists. And it beholds a suitability in Christ. That is for his own case. And now there's something beautiful here. You know what David says? He says, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Thus, when he may see, when he may perceive, then he may inquire. What is the greatest hindrance to inquiring? That is unworthiness. Is that your greatest hindrance? Unworthiness. You know what Esther said? She said, I cannot go into the king. I cannot go into the king. Who am I? Who am I? And the king has not called me in these 30 days. Congregation, that unworthiness. How shall I dare? And now David says, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. That's when the Lord is opening grace for one moment. If the Lord has ever done that in your life, to open that for one moment, then what has happened to your heart? I can tell you what has happened to your heart. It has gone like this. Gone out. Maybe not even yet with your mouth. But then you see an ocean of grace. And then your heart begins to inquire. And then it receives a certain liberty. receives a certain freedom to inquire and to go toward him, because it is all without money and it is all without price. That is, they're bought for those who are poor. Ah, David knows it. David knows it. That has happened already in his life. Ah, David says, if I could just see it again, because I cannot always see it. But oh, if I could just see it again, then my heart again will see that beauty. My heart again will apply, and I will go out to receive with empty hands all the gifts that he is giving unto such a guilty and a miserable and wretched creature as I am. Oh, David doesn't forget it. Not in his greatest tribulations, not when his guilt, because it is in our greatest tribulations that our guilt is coming in the foreground, isn't it? And the Lord gives us an affliction. Now, what's happening in our heart? Ah, you say, yeah, what am I doing? What is the way that I am going? What have I done? What is my life? And thus those afflictions. And when David is laying in that wilderness, far from that house of the Lord, then his sin is coming into the foreground. And when his sin is coming into the foreground, then he is longing again that he may inquire, that he may go into that house of the Lord, and that he may see his beauty again. Where there is forgiveness for the chiefest of the sinners. That is now on, that the Lord has instituted that holy supper. That is for his own children that are not strangers of this, that know this in their heart and that are longing again. And the Lord says, here are now the tokens, that is of my broken body and of my poured out blood. And now when you may behold those tokens, just like David may behold, that laver and that altar, then he may again be sure from the Lord that he has indeed paid that price, and that he is ready to forgive such an one as I am. May the Lord give, and that those who are not strangers thereof may so perceive once again in this hour, and that may be given to inquire once again of the Lord, to see his beauty and to eat and to drink, and for their soul to be satisfied. Amen. The form for the administration of the Holy Supper will now be read to you.
The form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which can be found on page 136 in the back of your Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, You do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great, that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that every one examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that every one examine in his own conscience whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore we also, according to the command of Christ, and the Apostle Paul admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke diseased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and all those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith, and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity, which still remaineth against our will in us, can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, "It is finished." Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many. For the remission of sins, this do ye, as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me." That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this, my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross, and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same, who dwell in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness and glory. Besides that we, by this same Spirit, may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another.
Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul. As thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic, undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, and whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting. But we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is prepared, let us sing from Psalter 117 as stanzas 1-4, as pants the heart for streams of living water. So longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee. For thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1-4 of 117. Beloved congregation, our week of preparation has now come to a close, and the table of the Lord is now opened in the midst of us once again. It is in obedience to the command of the Lord himself. And that is a command that is going out to every one of his true people. And therefore that self-examination is so necessary. And when we may hear now in the word of the Lord how that David says what is living in his heart, that is what is living in the heart of his own true church, even to the end of the world. He says, "One thing have I desired." And thus we ask of you in this moment, has there been a new desire? Because by nature we have no such desire to see the beauty of the Lord. But has a new desire ever been placed in your heart? That could be when you were even very young already. But a desire that is very different from all the desires that are in this world. Has the Lord ever given that his love may be poured out in your soul, and that your heart has gone out after him with holy longings and desires, that you might know him, that you might receive the blessings that he is giving unto all of his people? Maybe you say, "But minister, my desire is not one," because we read David, he says, "One thing have I desired, and I am afraid that my desire is not right. I have two desires. I have 100 desires. Oh, I cannot deny," maybe, when you speak in such a way, and that those things, they have lived, they have burned in my soul. But in my heart, there is so much more. And then I am afraid that I am a double man. I'm afraid I'm a double woman, because I have more than one desire. And those desires of the flesh seem so often to overpower those desires and that have been in my soul. Oh, do you think then that you are so different than the Apostle Paul, the servant of the Lord himself? Do these things burden your soul as they also burdened his soul? And when he said also himself that the good that he would, he did not, and the evil that he would not, that he did. Also we see that there is a warfare with those desires in the heart of his children. And it is through that warfare and that the Lord is making a man to sell his estate. Have you had to do that too? Does all that comes against it make you to despair of yourself? And that you have seen and that you have experienced that if it had to come from your side, that it would be so completely impossible, that everything had to be given up, and that from your side it all comes out empty. Were you ever given to see something by the Spirit of the Lord just for a moment of the beauty of the Lord? Has the Lord ever revealed a little bit of the beauty of his own Son and his blessed sacrifice unto your soul, that you have seen it with blessed longings and desirings and inquirings, and that your heart has begun to go out after him? This is now the people. We will stop right there. We will stop right there. We will not speak about assurance. We will not speak about justification. We will not speak about the adoption of children and the experience of these most blessed things and those things that are longed for to be experienced by the poor and the afflicted of God's church. But we will stop right here. Has your soul, in all of your need, in all of your poverty, in all of your misery, in all of your guilt, ever been given to see for just a moment, to each say, walk on the water, for just a moment, though it has soon after begun to sink again, for just a moment, and that you may see the beauty of the Lord, and that your heart has gone out after him in that moment with holy longings. And then the Lord says, do this in remembrance of me. And therefore this table has been opened for you, and we call you in the name of the Lord to commemorate his death until he come. Congregation, publicly, Peter said, I know not the man. Inwardly, he said, I love the man. And afterwards, he wept bitterly. Come then. There are no more, then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. drink ye all of it. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. David speaks about the time of his trouble. And we have heard that the times of trouble in the life of David were very, very many. And so it is also in the life of his church. Oh, there can be troubles in our bodies. There can be troubles in our minds. There can be trouble in our homes. There can be troubles in our business. But the troubles that live in our hearts, and they are always superseding. We can bring ourselves into our troubles, but we cannot bring ourselves out of our troubles. And so we stand in need of someone else to do so. And we read here, that David says, he shall hide me, or to be hidden. To be hidden in the day of our troubles, when there are many enemies, because David says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. And so they would like to destroy David. And so that is with sin, that is the experience of our hearts. It would be a great wonder, would it not, if in the end sin would not have dominion over us. And how many times does it not threaten to do so, because we cannot leave it alone. But the Lord says, he shall hide me. It is to hide from sin itself. It is to hide from all of the consequences of that sin. To hide from the judgments of the Lord, to hide from every enemy that would set ourselves against our soul. He says, he shall hide me in his pavilion. And in the margin it says, a large tent. And then we know what David, where David wanted to be. He wanted to be in that tabernacle of the Lord. And that was indeed a large tent. And it says here, in the secret of his tabernacle. And this is really, really beautiful, because the word secret means covering. It means covering. So David says, he will cover me. And if we go to the tabernacle, and we will find the covering on the top of the tabernacle. And that covering had four layers. And that is so full of instruction, because that top layer that was visible to all the world and all the children of Israel, that was not so very beautiful. But it was a layer made of a certain kind of skin, sometimes called badger skins. And that is a layer which protected that tabernacle and the instruments within that tabernacle from the elements, from the sun and from the, from the heat and from the rain. And so this outward covering is a blessed picture of the humanity of Christ. And that is now coming between God himself and his children. And David wishes to be found hidden within that blessed humanity. And now on the outside, that is not seen by men to be very beautiful, because there is no form and there is no comeliness in him that we should desire him. But David, he has been given to see or to perceive, because David has never been himself within that inner place that he is speaking about. And that is actually within the Holy of Holies. We have the holy place where the priests would come in, where the candlestick was and the table of showbread. And then inside that of that holy place was also the Holy of Holies. And therein came the high priest only once a year, and that not without blood. And that was now covered, this Holy of Holies and the holy place, with these four coverings on the top. And this badger skin, and that picturing, you know, that blessed humanity of the Savior to cover even David himself. And underneath this was ram's skins. Those ram's skins were dyed red. And thus they are a blessed picture of what had to cover David in the sight of God. And that blood that was shed by that sacrifice of that ram, and that is pictured for them in this tabernacle, and pictured for us by this broken body and this by this broken bread and this poured out wine. And underneath in this sacrificial picture of the ram's skins was goat's hair. It served a very practical purpose, but it also was a very, very beautiful picture, because it was through that sacrifice of that ram and that also that he-goat was sent out into the wilderness. And so that scapegoat was pictured for David here in this goat's hair. And now underneath all of this was a very, very beautiful, pure white linen cloth that was now on the inside of that tabernacle where David was wont to dwell, and where he said the Lord, he would hide him. And in that holy of holies, the Lord himself pictured himself as dwelling. And therein was the ark, and therein was the mercy seat, and all around this ark and mercy seat was this pure, pure white linen cloth. And on this linen cloth, there was embroiderment of different colors. And there was embroiderment of lines of scarlet color. And that was also pointing once again to that blood that was shed. And there was embroiderment of purple. And that was picturing the royalty that was protecting. And there was also embroiderment of blue, which was pointing to the divinity of Christ himself. And thus, inside of that place, it's called the secret place. It is a place where God himself dwells. It is a place which is a picture of heaven itself. And David desired and he longed that the Lord himself would hide him. Then there is no one that is able to touch him. There is not an enemy of sin and that is able to destroy and take away his life, when he may be hidden with God in all of his attributes protecting him, in his divinity and in the power of his divinity, and with the majesty of his kingship to protect every one of his true church, and then to make that people white and so pure that they may enter into that place and to have communion with him. This is what David, he has only perceived by faith, knowing what was inside of this Holy of Holies. And David said, the Lord, he will hide me. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That is another metaphor. He said, the Lord himself will do it. He will do it. I need not to do it. He will take care of me, and he will set me there. He shall put me there up, high upon a rock, on a steadfast place, where none of my enemies will be able to reach me. And all of this pictured in that blessed and beautiful tabernacle, all hidden under the covering. And that is a description of the work, the mediatorial work and the suretyship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord says this day, see with thine eyes, handle with thy hands, or eat with thy mouth, and drink also, and be satisfied with that portion that I have laid out for you. May the Lord so grant it in all of our hearts. Let us now sing from Psalter 71, stanzas 4 and 5. 71, stanzas 4 and 5. When troubles round me swell, when fears and dangers throng, securely I will dwell in his pavilion strong, within the covert of his tent. He hides me till the storm is spent. 4 and 5 of 71, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful Father, God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks, and that thou hast of thine infinite mercy given us, and thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal. And that thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. And thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 92, stanzas 3 and 8. My soul is joyful in the Lord. In his salvation I rejoice. To him my heart will praise accord and bless his name with thankful voice. And what follows, 3 and 8 of Psalter 92. Thank you. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.